Have you ever asked yourself, what do I really want? And felt sort of nothing but confusion or second guessing or even guilt? You're not alone. For so many ambitious working moms, that question feels overwhelming because life, motherhood, our culture has pulled us in so many directions that our own desires get buried beneath it all. In today's episode, I'm breaking down why this question, what do I really want, is so hard to answer, what keeps us disconnected from our own wants, and the powerful process I use with my clients to uncover clarity and direction. If you've ever felt stuck or unsure about your next move, this episode will give you a new way forward. Are you ready? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Ambitious and Balanced Working Moms Podcast, your go-to resource for integrating your career ambitions with life as a mom. I'm distilling down thousands of coaching conversations I've had with working moms just like you, along with my own personal experience as a mom of two, and sharing the most effective tools and strategies to help you quickly feel calm, confident, and in control of your ambitious working mom life. You ready? Let's get to it. Hello, amazing working moms. Today, I am diving into how to answer this question. What do I want? And we're talking about this question through the lens of how I often hear this question like phrased to me, which is more around like, what do I want next in my life? What do I want in my career? What's important to me in my life? What are my goals, right? It usually comes from this place of feeling very dissatisfied or disconnected in life as it currently is, and then really, really desiring at a deep level to figure out what needs to change or what you want to be different in your life. But I also think this question, what do I want, is really important for all of us to wrestle with from the perspective of desire. Because not only are women feeling disconnected from what they want and are having a difficult time answering that question for their life or for their career path or their perspective for lots of reasons that we're going to get into here, but they're also feeling very disconnected from what they desire. And desire and want are very similar words, but desire has like passion to it, right? There's an intimacy with the word desire that I think is really powerful for us as women to be in touch with. What do we desire? I think about the idea of desire sort of reaching all the way down into our lady parts and sort of kind of lighting us up on all sorts of levels, where what we want feels more like a head exercise. It's sort of a logical question to sort of ask that leads to, you know, some decisions and some changes that need to be made. But desire is like in our body. It's an embodiment of our want. And this question, what do I want or what I desire, is sort of a tricky one. It certainly has been for me in the past, which I'm going to kind of share a lot more of that story in a bit here. But part of the vision of what I want for this ambitious and balanced community for you is to help you figure out what lights you up, right? To help you get in touch with your desire, that embodiment of that desire. Because as I imagine a world of women that are lit up from their lady parts up, right, with what they desire and what they want, like this world absolutely changes. And I get so excited to see women really tap into their desires and their wants. This question around what I want and what I desire, that's a tricky one. It certainly has been for me in the past. I'm going to share a bit more about that. But part of the vision of what I want for this ambitious and balanced community and the work that I do as a coach for women is to help you figure out what lights you up, to get in touch with the desire that you have for you in your life. Because as I imagine a world with more women that are lit up from their lady parts up, I absolutely believe that would change the world. And I get excited about women being able to tap into their desire and what they want so that they could answer for themselves big questions like, where do I want to take my career? What makes me happy? What are the big goals that I have for myself? But also kind of answer that in everyday life to be able to name their wants and desires on a micro level and then live into those. On some level, when I think about women really tapping into what they want and what they desire, I see women becoming more decisive. and having more unapologetic opinions. And lately, I've been sort of wrestling with this idea of opinions. When I turned 40, I had a series of really like poignant questions with some really close friends of mine that told me that I was an opinionated person. And I sort of took offense to that at the time. And I've been wrestling with it for the last 3 years, ever since I turned 40, sort of like digging into what does that really mean? But as I have really wrestled with it, what I figured out it means is that actually I'm opinionated because I know what I want. And I know what I desire and I know what I think, and I'm not afraid to say it. And really, at the end of the day, that's not a bad thing. So let's really dig in this episode to answering this question, what do I want or what do I desire? And being able to understand a process of being able to answer that question ultimately for you, okay? All right, so to kick us off, I really want to dig into why answering this question, what do I want, feels so challenging to us. And I want to sort of start here because I think a lot of women judge themselves for not having really clear answers to these questions, right? But the cards, as I see it, have been really stacked against us for generations as women, right? It's really not all that long ago that women were finally allowed to sort of speak their opinion, right? To choose for themselves a spouse or a partner, or to choose for themselves who they want to vote for or what they want to do. And one of my favorite stories of my grandmother was when she was on welfare. She was on welfare ultimately because she divorced her husband. They had four boys, all under the age of, I believe, 8 at the time that they were divorced. She was a single mom. She took them all. And the way she describes the story, she said the welfare man knocked on the door. That's how she described it to me. The welfare man knocked on the door and said, if she wanted to continue to be on welfare, she was going to have to go back to school. And the welfare man handed her a list of career paths that was appropriate for her, right? It was like a handful of career paths that she could go back to school and get a degree and get a job for. And he instructed her she had to choose one if she was going to continue to receive welfare. Now, I have lots of thoughts about this particular story, and I'm not going to go into it here. I will tell you that the story does end well. She picks a path that she ends up loving, and it's great. But I think the story really sort of illustrates why we as women have such a hard time getting in touch with what we want and what we desire, because not that many generations ago, likely your grandparents' generation, it was dictated for them. Right? And maybe for your mom, it wasn't dictated as much, but that was a culture change that was still like women being able to vote and so forth was happening during your mom's generation. And so for you, of course, you have more choices and more opportunity to follow what you want and what you desire, but culture really hasn't caught up to us yet because it hasn't been that long ago. And so the American dream, as we know it, around more power and more money and more status, that's still a very white, male-dominated dream that we sort of live in and embody, and our culture really embodies. And so within all of that, it's really challenging to find our own voice. So that's the first thing that feels like a tangent, but it's the first thing I really want to highlight, right? We sort of have been indoctrinated in our culture that we don't have as many choices as women. That actually is certainly true on a somewhat factual basis in terms of the motherhood penalty and things like that. But it makes it challenging in us finding our voice. So that was the first reason. The second reason I hear a lot from women as we talk about the challenges of figuring out what you want and being able to answer that question is because women sort of get engrossed in their children after they become moms, right? And that's not a bad thing. But so much of our time and our energy sort of goes to our kids, and we spend way less time on ourselves and by ourselves, thinking for ourselves and so forth, that we sort of just lose touch. We get out of practice with thinking about our own desires and our own wants, right? That sort of naturally happens to us unless we are really diligent about taking a lot of time for ourselves very early on in motherhood. Another reason I hear so often is that women are people pleasers, right? you have traditionally, likely on some level, made a lot of decisions to appease the people around you, to make sure the people around you are happy, right? It's sort of like, if you're happy, I'm happy. That's sort of the mantra of a people pleaser. But then what sort of happens is like your desires sort of get tangled up in what other people want and what other people desire and what makes other people happy. And so then it gets very confusing when you try to actually figure that out for yourself, right? And then the last reason why I think it's really difficult for women to answer this question, what do I want, is because a lot of women that I've worked with, at least, have this sort of story or narrative about their life and their success in their life and sort of the path that they have been on in their life as being sort of like this. Well, the door kind of opened for me and I just walked through it. And then another door opened for me, and then I just walked through that one. And then another door opened for me, and I just walked through that one. And so here I am today, and I'm not really sure if this is exactly where I want to be today, but this is where I am. And this is sort of a disempowering story that a lot of women have, where you have literally stripped from yourself the choices that you've made and sort of delegated out your success and your career path to someone or something other than yourself, right? And so figuring out what you want today feels so much more challenging if you don't even know or believe that you were the one that chose the path that you're on all the way up till this point, right? So many women have this sort of disempowering story around how they have been successful up till this point. I know that was my own story 12 years ago when I had my daughter Lillian. I would very much narrate this in exactly the same way, where doors sort of just opened for me and I sort of walked through them. And that's what kind of made me, I just showed up and tried to do my best. And that's sort of what made me successful. But then when my daughter was born, the scarcity of time really hit me. And I realized how important it was for me to make sure that I was living life based on what I desire and what I want, leaving no room for regret. And so it was a moment where I had to really step back and reflect on the path that I was on and make a decision on if I want to continue down that path. Ultimately, obviously, I did not do that. And so I realized how important it was for me to make sure that I was living based on what I desire and what I want and leaving no room for regret. But it didn't feel like I'd ever really answered this question for myself, right? What do I want? And so it sent me on a journey to really figure that out. And so really, with all of this, what I think is important to highlight is there's so many reasons why you might be in a place where you're asking yourself the question, what do I want? What changes do I want to make? Am I on the path that I really want to be on? There's so many reasons why you might be asking yourself that question and finding it very, very challenging to answer it. So oftentimes, women will schedule a breakthrough call with me. That's sort of an initial call where if you're interested in coaching, you could schedule that call. We'll talk about what it is you really want, or at least what you know about what you want in terms of your goals and your vision. We'll talk about, you know, how we're going to achieve that together in coaching. We'll talk kind of about all the details of coaching and your options and things like that. And so often this is where I start this conversation with women, asking them the question, what do I want? And the natural next question that always comes up, or the natural next part of the conversation, is always, and I don't know how to figure out what I want, which is why they're right there on the call with me trying to figure this out, right? They're there talking about coaching to figure out if this is a place that they can figure out the answer to this question, what do I want? Because figuring out what you want is not like black and white, right? It's not right or wrong. You just get to decide what it is you want without anyone dictating it to you, without anyone filtering it for you in any way. You just get to decide for yourself, which is a really empowering place to be, where you're making this on the decisions on your behalf for your life and your goals. But I also know that for so many women who are searching for an answer to this question, what do I want? Recognizing that it is completely subjective, like you just get to decide what you want, that's a really paralyzing place to be too. Because it means potentially that you could make a decision that doesn't kind of pan out in the way that you want, because there's no right or wrong to it, right? And so the problem I so often see for women is that they start searching for the answer to this question, what do I want? They start searching for it sort of outside of themselves, right? They start exploring next career moves, or what the right next job is, or you know, going after some sort of passion project of some kind or whatever they're thinking about doing or pulling back and being a stay-at-home mom for a while, whatever the changes they start thinking about, they start thinking about those options and then sort of hoping one of them sort of resonates with like their gut, right? Because we sort of associate rightness and our gut together, right? We sort of think we're on the right track. Yeah, I have, that's in air quotes if you're watching me on YouTube. I mean, if you're not watching me on YouTube, but what's the right track? We sort of associate that with that sort of magical, peaceful, wonderful feeling that we want in our gut. But the problem is your gut feeling is based in comfort. Your gut feeling is based on things that you've done in the past. And in order to move forward with big changes in your life or to make a big move or to go after a dream or to go after big ambitious goals, right? That's probably not going to feel very comfortable in your body, right? It's so you can't really lean into your gut in order to make that decision. But that's sort of how a lot of women come to me thinking that this is how it works, right? What I tell the women that I coach is that before we even can talk about what the right next move is for you in your career and where you want to take your career path and what changes you want to make for yourself, before we can even have that conversation, we need to get in touch with what rightness means to you. Like we literally need to put words to rightness to you. That's literally the starting point. It's the anchor that you need. And rightness is not found outside of you. It's not going to be found in a quote, right job or a right next move. It is going to be found within your body. And so together in coaching, one of the things that we do right from the very beginning is we put words to describe rightness. And when you do that, decisions become a whole lot easier because you can make decisions that feel more decisive. You know, they're kind of in line with your values and your goals and what it is you want at sort of this deep, deep level. And that's when you know it's right. So how do you put words to rightness? That becomes the next question, right? Now, for me, 12 years ago, I went on my own little journey to figure out what was sort of right for me and what that meant for me. And it required me to zoom way out, right? It wasn't about what was right for me in that moment. It was about putting words to what feels kind of aligned with me and who I am. It was about what motivates me, what moves me forward, what I value, what I'm drawn to, what energizes me, right? These were the types of questions that I wrestled with over the course of almost a year, coming to a place where I finally had some words to really describe sort of this inner motivation, this inner desire within me. And ultimately, these are the same type of questions that I walk all my clients through in three very structured exercises that I like to call building your compass. You've probably heard me talk about that here on the podcast. It involves identifying your values, your core values, your identity, which is like how you want to impact this world, and then your purpose, which is about why you're here. And I call it your internal compass because it describes what you're all about. It describes almost your North Star. We're literally putting words to that North Star, that thing that moves you forward and what you're drawn to. And so those three exercises that I walk my clients through in building their compass, I want to say that over the last 8+ years that I've been coaching women, I use exactly the same three exercises. They've almost not changed at all because time and time again, my clients tell me how valuable these exercises were for them and how they were truly valuable to me when I went through them 12 years ago myself and ultimately kind of led me into coaching. Even just like the other week, I was chatting with a past client of mine who she probably ended coaching. We probably did those three exercises maybe 3 or 4 years ago together, where we defined her compass and we went through her values and her identity and her purpose. And so we were having this catch up and she was sort of celebrating some big news, a big career change that she had made. And she said, I went back to those three workbooks. I went back to my compass and the words that I used to describe my compass that we had built together, and it helped her feel really grounded and certain about the decision that she was making in her career, right? And so we celebrated that. So let's bring this full circle, okay? In order for you to really answer the question, What do I want? What do I desire next for myself? What's going to make me happy? What's going to ensure that I'm living regret-free, right? In order to answer those types of questions with any level of certainty, you need to be in touch with what you want and what you desire at a much deeper, more human compass level. You need to know what motivates you. You need to know what lights you up. You need to know what energizes you. You need to know what moves you forward. Because when you know all of that, at that deep compass level, your next career move or change is going to feel so much clearer to you. So let me give you an example of how this works. And I'm going to just talk about my own journey with this. So 12 years ago, when I went through developing my own compass, I kind of pieced together a bunch of things, a bunch of words. I did some of these exercises myself. But at the end of the day, I had these words that described me at this sort of core compass level. Okay. So when I had those words, I started to notice a theme within them, right? And this is something that I help my clients start to see as we identify all these things. We start drawing on themes and putting themes together and understanding how all of these things sort of fit together. So I saw this theme that said, I care more about people than I do about what I do. And that felt so true to me at that point, right? So I had worked about very first out of college, I was in theater. I have a theater arts degree. That was my first degree. And so I worked in theater for about 6 years. And it wasn't really the love of arts or the love of theater that kept me there. It was the people that I worked with. And then after that, after I left theater, I went into the event industry and I was hosting 20, 30,000 person events. And I did that for another 6 years. But that was a really cool job. But at the end of the day, what I really cared about was not really putting on great events. That didn't really motivate me. It was the people that I worked with. And then if I looked outside of my career at countless examples of people and women and youth that had asked me to mentor them, I loved running the internship like mentorship programs that I had at various jobs. It was all about developing people. I loved people. And so as I was building my compass and looking at all of these words that really describe like an inner version of me, it was so apparent to me that what my next move in my regret-free life was going to be was I needed to focus on people, right? And I had that language now to sort of describe me because I had done this really hard work of defining my compass and my inner desires and motivations. And I knew I was a people first person. And so when coaching then became presented to me as an opportunity, I started to seriously consider it. Had I not done any of that compass work and somebody would have said, oh, Rebecca, you'd make a great coach, I don't think I would have gone for this. I don't think I would have made such a big leap of faith into this industry without the level of certainty I had in who I was at that deep core level. That's the power of being able to have these like words in your back pocket, because it brings this level of certainty around what it is you want and what you desire. And when opportunities start rising up, it makes sense which ones start to make more sense to you, right? That are kind of resonate with you on this deep level, because now you have the words to describe it. You have the words to describe what feels right to you, what feels certain to you, what that inner gut feeling really, really is to you. And that's why you can make so many more decisive, certain feeling decisions about what's next. I call this an inside out approach, right? It starts with sort of answering fundamental questions about what it is you want, and then letting the answers to that sort of guide you in your next steps. And when women are interested in working with me, I tell them, and they're kind of interested in exploring like next career move. Should I pull back? Should I be a stay-at-home mom? Should I start my business? Should I do all these things, right? There's so many different career paths. But when people start working with me, I say, look, I'm not a traditional career coach where I'm going to like look at your past and I'm going to try to match you to something, you know, some job that makes sense to you. That's not what I do. I'm not an expert at that. I'm an expert at getting you to put words to your deep desires and wants, and then to help you figure out what the next move is based on that. Again, I come back to the belief that when you know what you want and you are living in the fullness, in that sort of empowered state of desire, you're unstoppable. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about your decisions. It doesn't matter if you're afraid to go after big dreams or some big shift in your life, because you know that you know that you know you're on the right path, because it all aligns with that inner internal guidance system That's what's so powerful about this. And I have helped countless women at this point develop their compass, name what they want and what motivates them and what fuels them at a deep level, and then translate that into a next career move. I've had many clients that have started dream businesses, that have left toxic workplaces, that have started their own firm or their own partnership of some kind, that have acquired businesses, that have gone on for promotions, that have kept themselves from like leaving a job that they thought they didn't want anymore, but actually realized it was really in alignment with where they're at this moment. And so they decide to stay with a lot more certainty. But if you know what it is you want, that's when you're going to leave no room for regret. If you are on your own journey to be able to answer this question, what do I want? What's next for me? What would leave me without any regrets? If that's something you've been thinking about for a while, I have some spots in my calendar for a few new one-on-one clients, and I would love to talk to you about it. So it's about a 3 to 6 month commitment to work with me to get to the bottom of what it is you want, to name your compass, to get clear on the decisions around what your next career move is or what your next big decision is. I have a lot of clients that make that investment in themselves because living regret-free is that important to them. I also have women that use professional development dollars to try to help pay for some of that, because at the end of the day, you don't want to wish that you would have made a move sooner. And you also don't want to hit burnout before you make any of those decisions and changes either. Now is always the time to take back control of your life, of your career path, of your goals in life, and what feels right to you and how you narrate your story. Now is always the time to live your most best life. And I can help you do that. So if you're interested in speaking with me about coaching and what it could look like, I encourage you to take the next step and to book a breakthrough call with me. That's where it all starts, where we start uncovering a little bits and pieces about what it is you want and the vision of what it is you want. I'm going to actually walk you through a very powerful exercise to help get even some clarity right there on that breakthrough call. And then we'll talk about how we're going to help you reach those goals through coaching. And we'll talk about all the details. Okay, so to book your free breakthrough call, you can go to RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/book. And that's going to take you right to my calendar. You can find an appointment right there in my calendar. And then it's going to have you fill out a prep form that's going to help me get to know you a little bit about where you're at and what you're thinking about with coaching, what your goals might be. And then, of course, we're going to get really clear on that when we actually speak on that call. All right, working moms, you can answer this question. What do I want? Don't stay confused. It takes getting in touch with that inner deep part of you, that desire that is within you, that is connected to a sense of rightness for you. And I can help you get there. All right, working moms, until next week, let's get to it. Hey, before you go, I want to take a moment and tell you about an opportunity to speak with me directly. If you've been listening to this podcast and still feel like you need help balancing a fulfilling career with motherhood, then I encourage you to schedule a free breakthrough call. On this call, we will get crystal clear on exactly what it is you want out of your career and how you want to balance that with motherhood. And then we'll craft next steps for you to start moving toward a more calm and fulfilling working mom life. Head over to www.RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/book to apply for this free call. Till next week, and working moms, let's get to it.